So there will always be things about God that we cannot understand, that are beyond our ability to comprehend. But there are things that, when you look at them at first, can be, let's say, cognitively challenging, right? It's like, huh? God, you did what? God, you expect me to do what? God, you said what, right? So when you look at it at first blush, it's like, man, this is really hard to understand. But if you start to process it, you start to look at the end result of the thing that you're currently going through, because we're so bad at that, right? Like, we are so focused. We're prisoners of the moment. We're always worried about the emotion of what it is that we're experiencing now, and we're not looking down the road at what it is that God could do through this season of our life, right? So when we get past that and we start to look with kind of more clear vision and start to see in full, not just in part, then we see that God works in very mysterious ways. And we've talked about a few of these. Because again, some of these are really challenging, but we can understand them. And so we talked about how God uses enemies in our life. Ugh. I don't know anybody that wakes up. Now here's what's funny, because you got some people that act like they love the hate, right? They act like they love having haters and having people that don't like them. Nobody likes it, right? Nobody enjoys. They don't wake up one morning and be like, I hope everybody bashes me on Twitter today. You know, like, nobody wakes up like that unless you're just a weirdo. But that being the case, God uses enemies in our life to actually better prepare us for the journey that we're going on, right? He'll use enemies in our life to help us get out of certain seasons and sins and things that are going on in our lives to a better place, to the place that he wants us to be. And then we talked about last week how he uses experiences, good or bad, because we think that God can only use the good experiences to do anything good in us, right? But it's oftentimes the bad experiences that produce the most good in us, because it forces us to see things differently. And so God uses all experiences, good or bad, to help us become more like him, to trust him more fully, to be a better follower of him because of the experiences that we've had. And so God, in his mysterious ways, uses enemies and he uses experiences to help us be better equipped to follow him and better equipped for the journey that's ahead of us. And so that's kind of some of the things that we've looked at. This week, we're going to look at something just a little bit different, because different is fun, right? And here's what's so funny about this. Like, sometimes you have the best ideas, or what I would consider the best ideas, at the most random times. Does this happen to anybody? Like, you're taking a shower, you're falling asleep. Falling asleep is when it really starts to smoke, right? It's good. It's where stuff starts to happen when you're falling asleep, because your mind's like, I don't want to. Your mind is like a three-year-old that wants to, you need your three-year-old to take a nap, but your mind is like, not today, Satan, right? And so I had this random idea, and so the title for today's message is The Mysterious Metronome. This is a metronome, by the way. Yeah, who did that? Oh, of course, the drummer. So I need a flat surface. Anybody have a flat head I could borrow? Yeah, don't do that. That's rude. We'll speed it up a little bit. That's so fun. It could go on and on. You guys were not nearly as amused by that as I was. I'm like, man, that is so cool. So fun. And so the mysterious metronome. Here's where we're going to go with this today. I think it's another kind of this beautifully mysterious way that God works, is in that there are things that are going on around us that we have no clue about. There are things that are unseen in our lives. And you know, I don't want to get too like weird with this, but there's another dimension that we're unaware of. Our minds can mostly only comprehend in 2D. We can comprehend X and Y, and we can't even really comprehend Z space so much. Again, not to, be weird about it, but there's just so many things that we cannot see, we cannot process, we cannot fathom. And so when it comes to God, there are things that he's doing that we cannot see, but that doesn't diminish its importance or its power. There are things that are happening in a spiritual sense, that in a natural sense, in a physical sense, we can't comprehend it, we can't understand it, we can't see how it's working, but it doesn't mean it's not important. And so lock that in the vault. Got it? I have this truth that there are things that I don't see and I don't understand that are still at work in my life. Truth. Locked in the vault. Okay. Nobody did that. I thought y'all would, but you didn't. And somebody dropped the facts. So that's good. So we're gonna start, before we jump into all of that, you lodge that truth in your hearts, right? And so before we get to that, let's look at a conversation, because I think we have to set kind of the tone and give some context for this. We're going to look at a conversation between God and Job. And this is one of my favorite, and here's why, because I love to think about God as a little bit sarcastic. And I love that Jesus said things that were kind of humorous. Like he talks about, Jesus said some things that were kind of like junior high toilet humor. And you can read it for yourself and make of it what you want to make of it. But I just love to think of God as kind of this witty and clever and sarcastic, kind of snarky to a point. And he's not like that all of the time, but I think at a certain point when he's put up with enough, he's had enough, and he's going to let you know that he's had enough. And that's just kind of where I pick up on this conversation. So the context, God and Job are having this conversation. It's a dialogue. And really, at this point, it's more of a monologue, because when God starts talking, Job shuts up. But before we get to this point, before God says anything, Job is trying to defend himself. He's got three friends that come. Job's going through a really hard time in his life. He's lost everything. And so all of his friends come, and they try to tell him why this stuff is happening, and why all of these bad things are taking place, and how God works. And Job defends himself, and he's like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. This is how God works, and this is what God's doing. And so there's this kind of back and forth for 37 chapters of the book of Job. They're spitting all of their wisdom. And they kind of are spinning in circles, and they're at the end of their ability to comprehend and process. And in Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 13, there's more, but this is just the passage that we're going to look at. This is what God says to Job, and I absolutely love it. It says this: then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Now, before we go any further, it does not say that God spoke to Job out of the rainbows, right? It does not say that God spoke to Job out of the peacefully blissful sunrise and everything, the birds are chirping and everything is awesome. God spoke to Job out of the storm, for what it's worth. And this is what he said, and he's talking to Job. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? You're making all this noise, but you ain't making any sense. Right? So Job, you've been talking for a long time, and you're trying to obscure my plans, and you're trying to tell people how I work, but you don't have a clue, bro. You ain't got no kind of knowledge. And this is what he says. This is where it gets good. This is the snarky part of God. He said, brace yourself like a man. Brace yourself like a man, and I'm going to question you. And now it's your turn to answer me, because we have all of these questions for God, and we put him in a corner, and we put him on trial, and we start to ask him all of these hard questions, and we're going to grill God. But what if he flipped the script and started questioning us? What kind of answers would we have to the questions that God would have for us? I think we would find ourselves in a place of not understanding fully what it is that God is doing. There are things that are happening that we are unaware of. And so he tells him, you're going to answer me. He said, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Where were you at when I was speaking things into existence with the power of my voice and words? Tell me if you understand that. Run and tell that. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Like, the sarcasm is, oh, I love it, it's dripping, right? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across? Who pulled the tape on this thing? Right? Who decided the circumference of the earth and the axis that it would be on and the tilt and all of those sorts of things? Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstones? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and I wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and I set its doors and bars in place, when I said this far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt. So God is asking Job where he was at when he created all of these things, when he decided that this is where land would start and ocean would end, and this is where the waves would go no further. These are the limits. These are your boundaries. And so God is creating all of this stuff, and he's asking Job, where were you at when I was doing all this stuff? If you know everything, if you've got it all figured out, because you've probably met some people who think they have it all figured out, where were you at? when I was laying the foundation of the earth. And so, verse 12, it says this: have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? God, that is such a beautiful passage of the power and the ability of God to create and do things that we just can't understand, that we weren't around for, that we may never be able to fully comprehend, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. And so what we have to do is we have to posture ourselves in a place of humility and say, hey, God, there are things that you do that I don't understand. But I want to get in line with what it is that you're doing. I want to get in step with what it is that you're doing. And so there are so many things about that passage that are fascinating. But what we're going to focus on for our conversation today is how God is a masterful creator. And he creates. His creation has rhythm to it. There's this metronome that's going on, and it may be behind the scenes, and you may be unaware of it, but there's this rhythm that's taking place, and God designs with order, and he designs with purpose and intentionality. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says that God is a God of order, not disorder, but a God of peace, right? And one version said he's not a God of confusion. Like, there is very much purpose in everything that God has created. There's very much intentionality in everything that God has created. And when you start to look at the fact that when it talks about all of these things that he did in Job chapter 38, he said, I laid the foundations of the earth. And if you understand anything about building, you understand there are blueprints, there's a design. And so the foundation isn't just, well, I'm going to throw some concrete out there and see what happens. You set up the forms and you know exactly where the foundation's going to go and how far it's going to go and where it's going to stop and everything else that it has. And he has the measurements on it, and he lays the cornerstone, and he sets the footers and all of these things that have to happen for the foundation to be laid properly. God has a design, a purpose, a blueprint for us, for the world, for everything that's going on. And so you see how God is a wonderful creator in that regard. But at the end, it starts to talk about, have you ever given orders to the sun to rise? That would be cool. I mean, you know, maybe we could do some role play here, right? You could go out, you know exactly what time the sun's supposed to rise because the weather app will tell us that. And then you just kind of go stand on top of a mountain and be like, rise, sun. And you know exactly when it's going to, and you'd feel really good about yourself for, you know, 10 minutes. But we don't have that kind of power. We don't have that kind of ability. And so God, he creates with rhythm, because you know what the sun does every single day? It rises and it sets, and it rises and it sets, and sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes the clouds are out and you can't see the sun. Sometimes there's a storm and it's raining and you can't see the sun, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't rise. That doesn't mean that there's not a rhythm in place. You guys tracking? Do you understand what I'm? All right, Shelly understands. Thank you. Thank you, Shelly. I appreciate that. So God, as part of his ability to design and the way that he creates with intentionality and order. And so he, in all of his infinite wisdom, he decided that there would be a rhythm to the world that we live in. There would be a rhythm to our lives. And so God's rhythm is an unseen force that's at work around us that we would be wise to tap into. Have you ever heard a song and you felt like you knew the lyrics, but you didn't know the lyrics? It's like, that would basically explain my childhood. Because when you go back now and listen to songs that you listened to when you were a teenager, you're like, I didn't know it said that. They were talking about what? Right? And half the time, nobody knows what they're talking about because they make the lyrics so obscure that nobody can really figure it out, which I guess is part of the beauty of it, right? And so sometimes there are things that we think that we're aware of that we're unaware of. And I think when it comes to this rhythm that's going on around us, the way that God wants to work and the things that he wants to do, sometimes we think we know, but we don't know. But we can know, and we would be wise to tap into this. And so what reminded me of this is an embarrassing story, so bear with me. I'm full of those, actually, so just get used to it. So Shelly and I, we play a little game. Maybe you guys do something weird like this. We play a Spotify game. And so every once in a while, when we're in the car for an extended period of time, we'll take turns pulling up random songs on Spotify, like, and seeing who can outdo each other with the oddness, or, you know, the throwback, or can you remember this, or do you remember this band, or you remember this person? Do y'all do anything like that? Anybody? All right, so we were doing this the other day, and so she bust out with Whitney Houston and "I Will Always Love You," right? Now, what you may not know is that in spite of my beard, I love to sing high. And I'm not very good. Like, I am not very good. I'm not good at all. But it's something that I enjoy. It's something that I do, right? You know, I like to sing high. And so when Whitney Houston comes on, and here's what Shelly, she is musical. She has an ounce of musical ability. I have 0 ounces of musical ability, right? And so what I do naturally, and I didn't even know I did this, is I always try to sing one octave above what's that thing called? The melody, right? So I always try to, I'm singing high harmony with the melody, and I didn't even know that I was doing that. And so Whitney Houston sings way high, and that means naturally I'm trying to sing like one step higher than way high, and that ain't happening, homie, right? But I'll try, and so it's nasty, it's ugly. So here's what happened. I'm not gonna sing, don't worry. Everybody's like, God, please, no. No. Maybe later, not right now, maybe not right now. So there's the song starts really, if you're not familiar with it, I'll give you kind of an idea. It starts really slow, and she's singing actually kind of low, and you wanna come do this? No, okay. And then, you know, it starts to build, and it gets into the part that we're all familiar with, and it's like, you know, and I will always love you, right? But then something happens. This is really cool. The crescendo, right? The kind of the climax, the pinnacle of the song is this hard break. For 2 or 3 seconds, I mean, literally for 2 or 3 seconds in the middle of the song, there is silence. There is absolutely nothing. And then everybody, every instrument, every vocalist all comes in at the exact same time. How did they know how to do that? There is a predetermined rhythm, order, bars, measurements, right? All of these things, and I'm not very musical, as you may know, if you're musical and I'm misusing some of these terms, you will understand what I'm talking about. Just back off, right? Everybody knows when to come in. Everybody who is participating in that song knows the rhythm. They know what's expected, what's been predetermined, what kind of the plan forward is. And it kind of got me to thinking that, man, our lives are a lot like that, right? When we get in step with God, when we do things the way that He wants us to do things, when we're following this predetermined path, then we're in rhythm. You won't look like a fool when you come in, you know, a couple of counts early when it's supposed to be still a pause and you come in singing high. Right? Because you're going to look like a fool if that happens. Or if you're a musician and you're, you know, you hit the note, you know, a count before you're supposed to hit the note, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be extremely noticeable. And it could be disastrous. Like, if you were doing that live, that would just be a debacle, right? And so kind of all of this got me to think about how there is this rhythm that we may not even be aware of. There's this predetermined course that everybody who is participating knows about, but those who aren't don't. Right? It's kind of like this. Our band, I'm gonna pull back the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, right? You're gonna see what happens with our band. So our band is incredible. If you are not familiar with church music is not always great. If you grew up in church, you're like, man, you telling me, right? And so it's not always, there are some that are fantastic, but ours, I think, is the best of them all. And you're welcome. Drummers, those guys. And so here's what you may not know about our band. David, who is actually running, hey, David, buddy, wait a minute, David. David is, I told you guys last week, he's half man, half angel. He's a seraphim, so it's interesting. You always feel intimidated when you're talking to David, even though he's so kind, but you know he's like an angel. He could kill you if he needed to, right? And so David is what we refer to as the band leader. And so what happens is, all of the musicians and all of the singers, they actually have these little bitty earpieces. And what you'll hear, if you have in one, now what we hear out here, what we hear in the house, is completely different than what they hear on the stage. The people who are participating, The people who are creating, the people who are in step, who are responsible for delivering for us the music that we enjoy, are operating kind of on a different platform, wavelength, right? Different things, different inputs are controlling what it is that they do. And so they have what we refer to as a click track or a metronome. And then
intro, 2, 3, 4.
You ever heard that, right? Okay, maybe you have. You guys didn't seem nearly as impressed with that. Like, so this is going on in their ears.
Verse one.
And then they also have to sing and play music, and I would lose. Oh, and here's the funny part. Where's that mic at? You can't hear it, but there's a mic right here for the band leader. And I told David yesterday when I was telling him about what it is that I wanted to do, I was like, you're like the Holy Spirit. Because you just whisper into everybody's ear what to do next.
Pre-chorus.
I knew he was an angel. So it tells them what's coming, right? Not only does it tell them what's coming, it's a guide that tells them what's coming, but it also tells them the pace at which they should play, the pace at which they should operate, the pace at which they should do the things that they're about to do. That's good. Thanks, David. Because that'll get old. Right? And so what's funny is David will also, he'll be like, all right, coming up, you know, this, or build here, or slow down, or whatever it is that they're doing. And so it's funny because he really is like the Holy Spirit for the band. It's like, which is, if you're married, your wife is that. It's kind of the same thing. And so what's so fascinating about this is just that there are things that we can't hear. There are things that we're unaware of that control everything that's going on around us, right? So for example, the music that we hear in the house, what's so predominant, so prevalent, that everyone else hears is actually controlled by things that are unheard by most of us, right? And you can see how God works like this. God is doing things behind the scenes, things that we can't see, things that we can't understand, that are controlling what everything, or how everything is operating and what is going on in the world around us. So these are some things that we can do to get in sync with God and how he wants to work in our life. And the first one, just 2 points today. We'll be quick and easy about it, right? The first one is what we're going to call BPM. BPM, if you know Andy Mineo, it's BPM and a GPA, right? Teacher said it's going to hurt his average, and he said, thank God I ain't average, right? There, that's my singing for the day. So BPM, which means beats per minute. And so kind of when you look at the way that God creates, there again, we believe in rhythm. There's this, it's very clear that God creates like this. It's very clear that God has in his mind, in his understanding, the way that he designs rhythm. And so you don't have to look any further than the human body to see that, right? We have hearts that are constantly, very consistently pumping blood to the rest of our body so that we can live and we can function. And here's what's really cool about that. It doesn't just beat at 60 beats per minute every single day, every single hour for the next 70 years. That's not how it works. What the heart does is it actually changes rhythm based on the demands that are placed on it. Right? You have what's referred to as a resting heart rate, which for, you know, most people is probably around 60. If you're a super athlete, it's like 50. Like Lance Armstrong, apparently his resting heart rate was like 45 beats per minute, and they said his heart was enlarged. I don't know how large, but they said it was enlarged. Irrelevant. See, if you are ever in need of useless facts, I'm your guy. If you ever want me to remember your like name, sorry. I will give you my best, but I know that Lance Armstrong's heart is larger than the average heart, and it beats at 45 beats per minute. It's fantastic, right? And so what happens, you have your resting heart rate, which for, you know, that fluctuates depending on your health and other conditions or other circumstances. But then you have your heart. What will happen is, let's say greater demands are placed on your heart. Let's say you start to jog. Why you would do that, I have no idea. Let's just say you did, and you started to jog. Your heart rate would react to continue to pump the blood to the body like it needs to be efficient and to operate. Your heart rate would increase. And then, you know, there are certain points where this is good and certain points where this is bad. You can go from aerobic to anaerobic and all of those things that don't even matter, right? I mean, they do, but if you're getting to a place in your life where you're crossing the anaerobic threshold, you need to chill out. You're making the rest of us look bad. Says John Silos, right? Have if you guys have not met John Silos, that guy, like, he lives he's an anaerobic monster, right? He just lives above that threshold. So anyway, the heart responds to the things that are going, the demands that are placed on us, and it increases the beats per minute, the heartbeat, based on what it is that's going on around it. And I think our lives are just like that, right? I think there is a kind of a resting heart rate that we have. And here's what's so cool about that. You have to take time to rest. It's part of the rhythm that God has created in and for our lives. And if you're just a person who runs and runs and runs and runs, you're going to run out. Right? Every one of us, and our tolerance is different, right? Every one of us, we have batteries that have to be charged at some point, right? And so what God talks about is kind of this rhythm. And so, and we're not going to be, we're not like, you know, Sunday is a day of rest and you have to do that. But someday during your week, you need to take some time off. Like you need to rest. And here we live in a society that makes that increasingly difficult because there are so many things for us to do constantly. And we try to keep ourselves entertained, and entertainment is really just the devil's substitution for joy. But y'all don't want to talk about that, do you, right? Because y'all gonna go home and hop on that Netflix and there ain't no contentment in your soul, but you're entertained to death. Ouch, right? Would y'all give me some feedback here? Like, man, I thought that was really good. And you guys are like, pastor, talking about all that nonsense. There's a rhythm. And part of that rhythm is rest. Like, so we have this Sabbath. God instituted taking a day of rest. So there are 7 days in a week. He's like, hey, 1 day a week, take a rest, take a rest. There's a rhythm. 1 day a week, 7 days in a week, 1 day a week, 7 days a week, right? You see how it works. There's a rhythm to it. But there are also times in our life where things are going to be a little bit more hectic, a little more fast-paced, and our hearts will follow suit. Our hearts will follow the demands that are placed on it. And so here's what we need to know about this. Like, all of that is interesting, and, you know, it's great that the heart responds and all of these sorts of things. But here's how this applies to us. You have to know your season. You have to know what it is that God is trying to do in your life in that moment. Like, tell somebody who just had a newborn that, hey, your life should be really chill for the next 6 months. Right? 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 It's just, that's not how it works. That's not how, there is a season, there's a pace, there are things, and the season, the pace changes based on the season, and we all go through different seasons. I was thinking about this the other day, how our life is kind of like an album. And we don't really think in terms of albums anymore, but it used to. There was a thing when I was growing up called a CD. And so you would get, actually, I mean, I had some tapes. Now, I'm not old, and I didn't have 8 tracks or anything, right? I didn't have 44s, or was it 44s? Right, 45s, my bad. I got 44-inch tires on my truck, but whatever. So I'm not that old, but I had CDs. And so we used to anticipate the arrival of our favorite artist's new CD, his new album. And so you would get the album, and you would listen to the whole thing all the way through. And here's what was really cool about an album. Every song, unless it's Nickelback, every song is different. That is hilarious. Good albums have variety. Good albums have songs that are fast and songs that are slow and songs that get you feeling a certain type of way and songs that get you amped up. So for our life right now, fall for us is just always a little busier because football, right? Why not? Like, we love football, and I coach football, and both my sons play football, and my family is married to football. We love football, right? And so it's just, naturally, it's going to be busier because we have practices and games and all of those sorts of things. So, like, the song in the album of my life for this season is probably, you know, like, I don't know, You Can't Stop Me by Andy. Like, you got to know that, hey, this life is busy. Our pace is hectic at this point. And so what we have to do is get in step with the pace, the things that God is trying to do. And then you'll find yourself working with God instead of against God. So your life is an album. Figure out your song for this season of your life. Figure out if it's something that's a little higher on the BPM or a little bit lower on the BPM. And just get in step with that. If you're running when you should be walking, you're going to find yourself in trouble. If you're walking when you should be running, you're going to find yourself left behind. Right? And so just be aware of your song and what it is that God wants in our lives happening for us. If we're going too slow, we're going to miss opportunities. We're going to miss things that we should be stepping into because we're being lazy. Yeah. Right? Now, if we're running too fast when we should be walking slow, we're going to burn out. We're going to be tired. The classic Christian cop-out. There's two of them. One, I'll pray for you. And you don't pray for them. Man, y'all are not helping me this morning. So I will throw this if I have to. Just warning, I have ammunition. Yeah, do y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, that is that's our patent answer, our stock answer to problems that we don't want to deal with. When I don't really want to walk with you through the mess that you're about to walk through, then I'm just going to, at arm's length, I'll pray for you. And then 95% of the time, we just forget to pray about it, to be honest. So that's the first one. How did we get into, y'all see, y'all getting me, when you don't pay attention, when you don't cooperate, you get me talking about things that we ain't even trying to talk about. And I don't even remember what the other thing that was really important that I was supposed to talk about, because that one was so good, right? So here's the takeaway. Know your season. It'll come back to me tomorrow, I'm sure. Know your season. Know your song. Know the pace that you're supposed to be operating in at this point. Oh, yeah, the pace. Burnout. That's the second Christian cop out. I'm so tired, right? I'm so used. I feel abused and used by God. I feel that the church has taken advantage of me. And I'm like, did you read any of this stuff? Yeah. Did you see what happened to the disciples? Did you see that? Did you think? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, "Oh man, I'm just a little too tired to go to the cross today." I would, but I just don't feel led to do that. Christianity 101. Listen, if you haven't been in church very long, and church is awesome, church people are great. They do a lot of amazing things, but they do some really stupid things, and that's one of them. They are burned out. They don't feel led to do things, and they're just, you know. Anyway, that was free. That one didn't cost you guys anything. I'm glad that it meant as much to you as it did to me. So here's the takeaway. Know your season. Know your season. Know your song. Know what it is that God is trying to do in your life at that particular juncture of your life, right? And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense when you understand your life in terms of an album, right, that has different songs with different paces and different BPMs. And so when we know the song for our lives for that season, we can get in step with God. We can get in sync with God. We can run when we're supposed to run, and we can walk when we're supposed to walk, and we can dance. I think that if you, and I don't dance, you know, what's the, there's an old Genesis song, I can't dance. The only thing about me is the way I walk, and then he changes it around, and it doesn't make any sense. You only know that if you're north of 40, right? All right, good. So you'll dance at the appropriate pace, right? So if you're supposed to dance, you'll dance the right way. And you won't find yourself, in terms of our analogy, busting out a high note when there's supposed to be a break, right? You won't find yourself, right? So that's the first part, BPM. The second part, the last part, is this, and we'll call it learning to listen, learning to listen. And so all of that stuff is great. Man, it's cool that there are things going on that we're unaware of. There are things that are happening behind the scenes that are controlling what's happening kind of around us. And there's a rhythm to the way that God works, and we can tap into that. All of that is great. How do we do it? Here is our application. Because if we don't do anything with it, then we're just absolutely wasting our time, and I don't think we should be wasting our time. So how do we know about the unseen click track for our lives? How do we know our song for that season? I think there's only one way that you can really, there's a couple of things that you can do that'll help, but I think there's only one thing that you can do that will really get you in step, get you in sync with what it is that God wants to do with his rhythm for your life, and that is by learning to listen to God's heartbeat. That's a really poetic way of saying praying, right? You just have to learn to ask and to listen. To ask and to listen. I have so many conversations with people who ask questions and don't wait for the answer. And God has infinitely more of those with us than I do with other people, right? Like, we ask God questions. We ask God for things. We ask God for favor. We ask God for direction. And then we don't even take the time to listen to the answer. that he wants to give us, the clarity that he wants to provide. And so we remain in this state of confusion or doubt or enigma, right? And if we would have just done both, if we would have asked and listened, then we would know God's heart. We would know his heartbeat. We would know about the pace that he expects us to operate in that season of our life. And so to know God's plan for our lives, to know what we're supposed to do in that moment, for that day, for that week, for that month, for that season, to know what the pace is supposed to be, to know what the rhythm is supposed to be, we have to listen to God's heartbeat, right? And it's not, that's not some weird mystical thing, but we have to be patient and intentional enough to ask and to listen, not just ask. You know what we turn, and I'm just as guilty of this as anyone, we kind of turn prayer into like this drive-by help me, right? It's like when we're in crisis or we're in calamity or when things are challenging, in this drive-by effort to get God's attention, we throw out a prayer for God to help us, but we never ask God, you know, we never listen to what it is that he has to say, or we don't take the time, we don't rest in it enough to actually get the answers to the questions that we're asking. And so you have to be intentional about asking and listening. You learn to listen. Have you noticed, and if you have kids, I'm sure there are studies out there that prove this. I don't have any, like, in the top of my head other than my own personal experience. As you get older, as you encounter more noise, you have the ability to block out certain noises, like screaming children, right? Or kids that ask the same question over. I have one I'll leave unnamed, but my youngest son asks so many questions. And so, unfortunately, I've learned how to block it out, right? For the most part. I try to give guidance and direction and, you know, teaching him about life and all of those sorts of things. But when he starts asking foolish questions, yeah, now some of y'all are like really patient parents and you're like, there's no such thing as a dumb question. The heck there ain't. You have not met my children. You have... especially that one. Like, and he's so smart, but he has just so many questions at a certain point. I'm like, that's a dumb question. And I have an answer for my children. I do not answer dumb questions. Okay, back on track. Back in rhythm here with what we're trying to do. So our kids, they ask us a lot of questions, but you learn to block that stuff out at a certain point. Not that you ignore them, right? But you kind of ignore the noise. I have another son who I'll leave unnamed. He's my middle child. And when he's playing video games, he screams like a banshee. I don't even know what a banshee is, but that's what it sounds like. It's insane. And I got onto, like, I'm laying in bed this morning. This is Sunday morning, right? The day of rest, peace, and relaxation. So I'm laying in bed. I haven't even fully woken up yet. Like, my alarm has gone off once, and I hit that beautiful button that says snooze, right? And so for the next 9 minutes, I am in heaven until I hear, boo! Y'all think I'm playing. Shelly's dying because she knows it's true. It's David. Oh, he's here. What's up, man? This is what I hear. Boo! And so I get mad, not just because of the noise. And the way our, I don't know who designed our house, but they need another job, right? So all of the noise, for whatever reason, echoes into our bedroom. It's the loud, it's like an amplification system that goes right into our bedroom. So not only do I hear boo, but I hear boo, like louder, right? And so my irritation, my frustration with is, man, if you were half as excited about football games as you were Fortnite, you'd be a freaking monster. So as parents, we learn to block out the noise. Now here's where this, let me bring this back in. We have gotten wild. When it comes to God, this is what we have to do. They came up with this fascinating technology probably 10 years ago called noise-canceling headphones. Noise, amazing. Like, there's this technology to it. It really is incredible. So, like, especially the higher-end ones, you put them on, and it literally blocks out all of the noise that's going on around you, and you only hear what it is that you're trying to listen to. And I think when it comes to God, when we ask and we listen, man, we got to put on the noise-canceling headphones. We can't listen to everything that's going on around us. We can't listen to the demands that everyone else is placing on us. We can't listen to the urgency that everyone else is trying to project onto us, like we're supposed to hurry. Listen, your lack of preparation does not constitute as my emergency. Right? So we put on the noise-canceling headphones, and look, we care about people. We want to help as much as we can. You have limitations. There's only so much that you can do. And so when you start to listen to the outside noise and you follow the pace that everybody else, they're going to run you till you die. You have to get to a place in your life where you can do this first and foremost. Everybody put your tongue on the roof of your mouth. You got it?
I mean, duh.
And say this. No. No. I love you, but no, I can't do that. Because what they will do, what people will do, now that is not a no for everything in every season. Obviously, we're called to serve and we're called to help, but at times you will have to say no if the pace of your life is different and God has a different expectation of you during that time of your life. So no is powerful. Put on the noise-canceling headphones. Back up. Let me back up for just a second. Can we talk about this? People will chew you up, and they will spit you out. And there ain't gonna be anything left of you. And I hate that the world is like this, because I love to help people. But what you'll learn is that people, they will try to steal the most valuable and precious commodity that you have as a human being, and that is your time. Now, your time, you've only got so much of it, and you have a responsibility to devote that time to certain people and to certain things. Now, you have some that you can give to other people, but when that sum starts to become more and it cuts into the time that you're supposed to be used investing into your family or building for your future, making sure, it says, why would it say things in Scripture like a good man, a wise man, gives an inheritance to his children's children? If we weren't supposed to be preparing for the future and investing in our future till we get to the place that we can actually make a difference in our lineage, right? For our children's children. And so you have to be willing to say no to some things. Anyway, I didn't charge you. Seminars, you can go to seminars. They're going to charge you $1,000 a person for them to stand up there and tell you that. I did it for free. So noise-canceling headphones, put them on, wear them, listen to only the voice that you should be listening to. Listen, if we ask, God is not going to give you like a very clear directive necessarily. He's not going to be like, hey, go here and do this. But you will start to hear the rhythm. You'll start to hear the pace. You'll start to understand the way that you should carry yourself in that season. I've seen people who've had so many demands placed on them, and their life is unaffected by the demands that are placed on them because they understand God's rhythm for their life. They're not deterred. It's almost like they go through life with their noise-canceling headphones on, and everything around them is crazy, but their soul is quiet because they trust in God. They trust his plan. They've asked and they've listened. So we have to learn to listen. And the only way that we learn to listen is we take the time, we slow down, we stop, we block out all the noise, we ask and we listen. He may not give you step by step what it is that you're supposed to do or what your life is going to look like. I think in many cases, I love the quote by Martin Luther King that says that faith is a staircase, but we only see the next step in front of us. Right? So that may be all that you see, but you start to see how God, he may not show you the whole staircase, but he may show you your next step. And it says in Proverbs that God orders the steps of a righteous person. There's order to his design. There is rhythm to his design. And so what we have to do is we have to tap into that. Trust, ask, listen, follow. You trust, you ask, you listen, and you follow. That's when movement starts to happen in your life. That's when things start to change. That's when you start to see the transformation that you've been praying about for years, but you've only asked, but you haven't listened, and it hasn't happened. It happens for us when we start to ask and we listen to what it is that God wants us to do. We trust, we ask, we listen, and we follow. So this morning, I just want to pray for all of us, just kind of a blanket and general prayer, that our hearts would be open to what it is that God wants us to do, that we would start to listen to his leading. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much for giving us these ways, these illustrations of how life works, of how you work, God. God, that there's a rhythm that you have created for our lives. God, I pray for every single person in this room, that you would help them to identify their season, the song of their life at this particular moment. So that God, not for any other purpose than getting in step with you, with being in sync with you. God, I think there are times in our life where not only are we not in step with you, but we're walking in the wrong direction. God, if there's anybody in the room this morning, that's them, that they're walking in the wrong direction, God, that you would call them back. The word repent, it literally means to turn and go the other direction. And so if you're walking away from God this morning, will you repent and come back to him and get in step with him and in rhythm with what it is that he wants to do in your life? Maybe you've been in church your whole life. Maybe you've heard all of these great sermons about all the great ways that God works. But maybe you've fallen prey or victim to the religious mentality that we're going to have drive-by prayers and we're just going to throw stuff up to God but never take the time to listen. We have to listen. God, help us to listen. Help us to block out the noise, the demands, and the expectations, and to listen to your voice. God, it says that your sheep, that's us, they will know your voice. Help us to know your voice, Jesus. Help us to follow you wherever it is that you want to take us. Help us to become the people that you want us to become. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.